that's the madness. You got to have the backstory to make the best story. Do you understand that in life? What do you do as a job?
I'm a photographer.
A photographer. So you're not a digital wizard yet?
Close enough.
See that? Close enough.
Close enough.
You have to take that. Remember that every format, everything you know, everything you do, zap it to my fucking house. All right, I'm doing Thrasher Skate Rock Radio from Auckland, New Zealand at Cheapskates.
Kaiba Pass.
Is it Kaiba Pass? Oh, that's in
Kaiba Pass.
That's with Lee Ralph. Maybe you've heard of him, the 80s pro. Turned into 90s, burned out. Now he's back as the carving machine. Lee Ralph, say hello to people out there, mate.
Hello, people out there, mate.
Really? What's that mean?
Yeah, no, it means I'm stoked to be here with you and stoked to be able to say hello to some more people on day before Christmas.
When you think about skateboarding and how it's affected your life, I mean, start with me at the beginning. You were a little kid like me. We read the magazines and we saw the things and we wanted to be that.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, I saw some skaters around, you know, people riding skateboards, older guys, I mean, bigger guys. I saw them riding around and I was like, fuck, that's cool. I didn't really know that it was going to be the thing for the rest of my life. Then went and had a skate with them. And after about 2 days of riding, I knew that was it until the end of time. That I found them the coolest thing that anybody could ever do.
Right. Well, I know when I found it, skateboarding, it was all my other friends that were just, you know, into throwing rocks and breaking windows and shit. They're gone. Now these are my skate crew. That was it was like a very big judgmental day. That was like judgment day. I skate now. And I can remember the day like yesterday. It was April 13th, 1976.
Jambo.
What about you?
For me, it was a little bit different because with my dad is a strong fella. You know, he had a lot of energy and worshipped him. So, and he wanted us to be rugby, you know, rugby right. And rugby league and that. So I had to get around that. Because I was good at sports, you know, I'm a sports person. So I was doing well at the sports. My dad's like, we're heading in the right direction here. We're going to be an all-black boy, you know, this is what's up. But I couldn't even tell him that really all I wanted to do was skate, nothing else. I didn't want to play rugby anymore, and even though I fucking love rugby, bro. I love rugby league, and I even like cricket and that. But not like I like skating.
Skateboarding...
And it was hard for him because, as you know, Jake, those fellas had never even seen skateboarding.
Right.
Such a new sport in the world that he couldn't even go back to the roots of it and pick out people and say the reasons why he didn't like it because he didn't even know anything about it. So basically, he was being a hater.
Right.
You know, and I was like, never seen my dad really be a hater, especially to me.
Right.
And so I was like, fuck, you know, oh, this is going to be a difficult road. It's going to be a hard road, but I stuck to it.
The skating and the difference between.
Well, I also wanted to please my dad.
Of course you did. We all do.
Yeah.
You hold up the pillar of my whole existence.
Yeah, my whole thing was really to just please him. So I knew that if I skate, then I better kick some fucking ass because I've let him down over here and I'm not an all black. So I have to be an all black skater.
Ooh.
Yeah, which weren't even invented yet. Yeah.
Well, see, but the thing about all team sports are that's just you. You can be great, and then somebody drops the ball, and then it's on him. You know, when you're skateboarding, it's you against yourself, and that's what the whole differential between team sports and
hard.
Skateboarding is like, that's you against yourself.
Freaking I think, because my dad was such a sort of, I won't go into deeply into it, but such a sort of gangster kind of personality. He was already an individual, hard as fuck, exactly like I wanted to be. And I didn't think I could get that through rugby and that, you know what I mean?
Right.
It was just, I'm quite, as you know, I think about myself a lot.
You look in the mirror a lot.
Yeah, I look in the mirror. And when I do look in the mirror, I'm like this, I'm seeing my dad and my mum, you know, and I'm like, fucking, I'm going to make respect happen here, you know.
That's the thing.
I'm going to bring love for our family and make them proud.
I was tripping on acid one time. I looked in the mirror and I saw my mom and I was like, I'm off it. No more acid.
I saw that photo of you and your mom on the beach.
Phenomenal. No, in the raincoat, the slicker.
Yeah, phenomenal.
What do you call it? You call it a slicker, right?
I call that Wilbur Smith.
No,
because I read a lot of Wilbur Smith, so I see the picture, yeah. And it's like, oh, this is some old school shit.
What's the first song you want to hear?
The first song I want to hear?
This is Thrasher Radio, fucker. You get to pick a song.
Anything.
Well, go ahead, Stravinsky in D minor. What do you go ahead? You can play whatever you'd like. I give you this opportunity.
Can you find the songs that I will speak of?
Fucking Cyberwave, bro. We can do anything.
All right, then the first song for me is from Midnight. The guy, if you're looking up, you're looking for it. It's Midnight Reggae, and it's called "In the Same Boat We." So he's actually from the Croy Islands.
Nice.
These weird islands that Joey knows.
The Joe.
He told me about the islands.
You can hear this.
Yeah, yeah. And the same song, We, is my, it would be the first song for sure. It, like, bro, this song blisters my soul when I hear it now. I go like this. It doesn't matter who's around me or what I'm doing. When the same song, We, comes on, I just go like this. In the same song, We. Yeah, like, same boat, We.
Faith Unagi, that song. Tell Faith Unagi I love her. You know that song?
No.
Mark Gonzalez told me the Tell Faith Unagi I love her.
Is it real or something made up?
No, no. It's an artist. It's an obscure artist. I think he might have even played it with you down when he was down here in 85.
Hard.
When he came down here in 1985, is that your first experience with Mark?
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, he had to, Gregor told him to come down here.
He came out to see Gregor, right?
Right.
Gregor had known him. Gregor had been to America, and he went to America in 1980. He went in 81. He went in 83. He went in 85.
He won.
Fucking won Tahoe.
I was there with a broken leg.
Yeah, right. He won Tahoe in 1985. I was like, what the fuck? I
my
believe
high
it.
Ramp. No, dead cat toss.
Yeah,
pretty much.
We used to sit and talk about like we are now. We do.
Like we always are.
Yeah. We talk about shit and people and that. We're sitting around talking, and Gregor, I never imagined, honestly, and we've got a big ego, but I never imagined that we could reach the heights that we actually achieved.
You told me.
Especially, he did it first. He did it right in front of me, and I was like, holy fuck. We're not just Kiwis talking shit in that. We are Kiwis talking shit in that, but it's international shit. The shit that we're talking is worthy of the world.
The big picture.
Anywhere. Go to Russia, say the same stories, brothers will still high five you. You know?
Before they kill you.
Yeah. Before you kill them.
No. Before they try to kill you. I guess that's the way. Let's get back to Andre. So then, okay, Gons came out here, then he said he went back to America. And he said to Vision, he's like, turn this guy pro or I'm off. Is that true?
Yeah, he came to see... What he really wanted to do was bro down with Gregor because he worshipped him. And he was like, I love you and I want to speak to you again, you know. And Gregor was busy working at Cheapskates, this one that we're sitting in now. We lived 100 metres down the road here. Gons, when the story we're telling where Gons met me is 100 metres away. And Gregor was here in the shop working, which was unheard of, we don't do jobs and that. Gregor was working here in Cheapskates, and so he couldn't hang out with Gons because he was busy
working
9 to 5, yeah. And Gons comes up and Gregor's like, oh bro, I'd love to, you know, do the things that you want me to do and be there for you.
But
I can't, I'm fucking,
I'm working,
right,
man.
Right now I'm putting my life back on track. Duty now for the future, Devo motherfucker. You know, he's like, I'm doing the duties now. I've got to make it happen.
So then
Gons was like, he's probably depressed a bit about that, I reckon, because, you know, come all that way and then a bro won't even walk out of his job to hang out with you and you're the man. What kind of a homo is that guy? You know? So Gregor said to him, just go down the road here. My bro Lee's down there. He's just like me. And it's not a second best, you know? It's not like you came over with plan A and now you got plan B. It's still plan A.
Right.
It's just another guy. So he came down and he knocked on the door. I opened up the door. He was standing there. Bro, the Thrasher had just come out. They'd had him on the... It was the Gons, you know, the one with...
Ali, for the boneless.
So I had the mag, like, sitting in my room at the time. I'd been reading it extensively, as I do. And then he's knocking on the door. And it's the mag goes out, so I opened up the door. I was like, oh, yeah. We went to skate New Lynn.
You went to New Lynn. Did anybody loop it? No.
Nobody can loop New Lynn.
If you told me you were on the platform,
it's impossible.
Top, some guy tried in muck boots and he tried.
Yeah, yeah. Captain Caveman tried to loop
it. What did he get?
He
disappeared.
Yeah, he got the ambulance. Yeah, yeah. And bro, when I saw him getting ambulance out, when I saw him getting carried off in a stretcher, I was nine years old, and I was thinking this. I was like, maybe like a week from now, I'll try it and make it. And then I'll be the man. Yeah, because if Captain Caveman can't do it, and if you can outdo Captain Caveman,
you know,
when you're only nine,
yeah,
and then you've... I was like, this is going to be a fast-track situation. All I have to do is loop the pipe, and then it's going to be gold.
The pipe is only 12 foot tall. It can't be done, and it's got a flat-bottom speed bump.
I don't say it can't be done. You know who I
Somebody
think...
Somebody could do it.
Do you know who I think could do it?
Joey. The
Bob.
Joe.
Bob.
No,
Bob.
He probably did.
He fucking looped Mount Baldy.
He tried. He didn't make it.
Yeah, I know. Have you ever tried?
Oh, no. Is that something you ever done?
I'm not going to be trying.
He jumps out of helicopters with no parachutes.
Yeah, anybody who tries to loot Mount Baldy is like a king to me. You know, like literally got a crown.
Carved in stone.
A crown on their head. And I don't even care if they're the biggest kooks in the world in front of everyone right in front of me. And some guy tries to step out because they rooted their girlfriend or whatever. I'm still going to back them up because they tried to loot Mount Baldy. You know, like usually I care about what's real and you know who's right and wrong, but there's no right and wrong when you're talking to somebody who tried to loot Mount Baldy. You just whatever they say, that's it. That's over. That's why they tried to loot Mount Baldy, so they could get the situation happening.
They went for it.
And they deserve the situation, whether they made it or not.
He got stretchered out. Salma.
He got stretchered out, bro. You've been to Baldy, haven't you?
Well, I went there with Salma.
You don't go. It's not in front of an X Games crowd, that where there's instantly ambulances and shit in there, and people are clapping in that for you on your way up. There's nothing in Mount Baldy. There's just rattlesnakes and grenades, and you have to dodge grenades and shit on the way up.
Clapping for you on the way out.
Yeah, fuck.
On a fucking. I'll be back.
Yeah. Which is cool.
What's the next song you want to hear?
After Same Song We?
You can hear what... there's five. I told you this before. I've even briefed you.
Five, eh?
At least five. You can do five or six, depending on the ethnicity of your conversation.
Well, I'm going to just go straight to my own ego right now. I mean, this is my time.
Countdown by Europe?
You've come down here. You're putting me on the map. You're showing love to me again.
You got to thrash your tattoo, man.
You're pushing me out there.
Push your buttons.
So what I'm going to say? Cannibal.
By who?
By Bad Chip?
No.
It has to be.
Because you're in my song.
One of the greatest. How lucky can a man be to know somebody and to, like I, you know me, bro.
I know you.
I come out to America and I don't know these pros and that. I've got pictures of them on my walls. You know, everybody has. And you got these pictures and you're loving it. You're worshiping these people, and then to end up sitting in a room with them and hanging out, it's just fucking mind-blowing.
No, like you said, the gods came to your house, you're reading the mag, he knocks on the fucking door, does life really happen?
And bro, I even knew he was coming because he gave word up to Gregor, but when I actually saw him in real life standing straight in front of me, it's like, it doesn't matter how prepared you think you are
right.
for things, you know, it's still going to blow your mind.
No, it's still blowing your mind.
And it's going to fluster you.
But it's blowing your mind
and
now.
And it's going to fluster you and make you, you know, dig for things.
Okay, so check this out. You went out to California in 1987. No, you went 88 is when you came out to skate camp. You got the something else, the front side O.
Yeah.
But okay, you went out there and you told me this before, that you went to all the pros, to the hot amateurs. You went to their ramps and decimated them. Explain that to me. What was going through your mind?
I fucking couldn't believe it. I went there and started riding with them, my heroes. And they're still my heroes, right? And they always will be. They
Chris Miller.
Everyone, you know, yeah.
Cab Hosoi.
But, bro, even smaller names, because I hadn't been in competition against people, and I'm quite a competitive guy. So, for me, like, even Nash in that, you know what I mean?
Eric Nash.
I had to destroy Nash before I went up. It's like boxing. You have to fight the underdogs in that, and then you fight the champ.
You got to make the card. You got to make the card to get that Friday night.
And then you have the big fight.
No, then you get the big Friday night.
So I already, I was such a small thinker at the time that I was like, I'll take out Nash. Yeah, you know, I'll take out like Crescini. I'll decimate him.
Aguilar.
Aguilar.
Fabrica.
Fidge.
Fidge. No, and then.
But mostly that guy, because I didn't like him, but I've got a lot of love for him now. But I remember Greg Agulis or whatever his name was, the guy.
Greg Aguilar. That's him. That's his name. I even broke it down for you. You went to San Jose, but you won.
I wanted to destroy him.
And you did.
Well, he was so useless that when I got there to destroy him, I just went like, it's not even. So I just befriended him. Yeah, instead. I went there, I thought he was a real player. I was like, this guy's going to be gnarly, man.
Well, the Crescini and the Virginia Beach boys were pretty formidable at their time.
Fucking good skaters, bro. Solid. Mike Crescini came in here.
Three-prong fork. Those
epic.
Guys, no, real. But you went to Reno, and that was the AM Finals, and you won it.
Second to Chris Borst.
The Borst?
Through the trophy.
Because all he did was a 540, and you didn't do it. That's it. He chicken-winged the flop. That's it.
Guess what? He wins. You know why?
First place.
Because I should have manned up and done the fucking 540.
You should have.
Shouldn't I?
But it was 34 years late for that.
I thought the tricks that I bought out at that time was so fucking groundbreaking. Then I was just like, the 540, give me a break. Plus, Mike McGill invented it. How hardcore can it be? You know? Is there anything hardcore about Mike McGill? No. So how hardcore can this trick be? Why is anyone even scared of it? But that motherfucker manned up and invented that trick. And so forever, if Mike McGill comes in here now and hears me talking shit about him that, I would go straight to my knees and go, "You're the man."
Homage.
Yeah, you fucking did a 540, bro.
He tried to Lou Baldy.
I didn't do a 540, did I?
That's the other guy. What's the next song you want to hear?
Well, probably, it's anything, right?
Oh, you can play whatever you want.
You're blowing my mind.
You are blowing my mind.
My mind. It will be Herbs.
By what artist is this called?
The band is called Herbs.
Herbs.
My dad carved guitars for them and that.
Right.
For this band, this Kiwi band. And it will be, the song I will choose is going to have to be, I'm going to have to sing it for a second to get the chorus, to the chorus. I got a problem, it's all around. Nuclear waste.
Nuclear waste, but they don't have anything here like that.
Nuclear waste.
1,500 miles away from the NZ, you can't do that.
Yeah.
No nuclear activity whatsoever. No,
we said it.
No, at the all.
Yeah. David Lomme.
So you went out to get, you're pro for vision. At the time when Gonz was just about to leave, I mean, you went to the contest. It was in the wave pool in Arizona, and it was your debut pro contest. You got fourth.
Holy
shit.
Life changing moment.
Right? Chris Miller won.
Yeah, it was my first pro contest, bro. You know, like, since I was born, all I've ever wanted to do is not beat the guys that I love and that, or even compete against them, just be with them.
Right.
You know, that's all I ever wanted. And then I was with them, and we were in Arizona. There was like 100 pros there. I'd never had that happen to me before, really. So there's 100 of us in hotels spread around. Everyone's getting wasted in that. And I was straight edge, bro, you know, totally straight edge. So everybody's getting fucked up. And they're like, and I'm getting fucking hyped on this shit, you know. Right. I'm getting like a contact vibe off these cunts too, because they're so awesome. They're my heroes. We skated the ramp and that. We went to the perfect ramp. Only some people I noticed, the hierarchy system. Like, there was maybe 80 of us out there, you know, right. who were trying to escape and trying to get somewhere. And then, but only about eight people were allowed to go and ride the perfect ramp. And I was on the list.
Because you qualified you made one fourth place.
No, because I'm Mark Gonzalez's friend.
Because I'm friends with him.
Yeah, but then the session's on, you know, so I had the most shredding session. And I knew straight after that session, I was like, I'm fucking going to try and win this comp. Not like come 10th or something.
Right.
I'm going to try and fucking win this comp. And I really thought after the perfect ram session that possibility that I might win.
Do you remember your caption?
It was fucking mind-blowing.
You had a lean air in the magazine. Do you remember the
caption? All alone in the danger zone?
That's
of course.
The caption, of course. Fuck yes. I was like,
of course.
It's got a rad mag sticker on your helmet.
It's an epic lean. It's not even that high.
No,
but it's so strong.
You just like, people, they do the airs now, they run out of gas and they kick turn it. You're like scooping it in. It feels so. I mean, I wasn't there, but I mean, I can see it.
I told you what Elvis here today.
What?
Tony Elvis was there at the Piffer Ram session.
Yeah.
So he was sitting down, and I was only new to the whole, like, now we're veterans in that, and we've been around, and we kind of know how things go. So I was a young man, and Tony Elbow was sitting on the side watching the whole perfect ramp session. Phillips was there, bro, like, fuck it, you should have seen the people, it was insane. The skating, and plus people were skating out of their skin. Like, it wasn't like a normal session, people were like, see who's going to win tomorrow, it's me. You know, everybody was saying that, it was mind-blowing. And Elbow's sitting down the bottom, and he goes, hey, whoa. I bailed a linear or something. Probably the only time I fell off on the whole session. Yeah. Anyway, I knee slid down. Elvis there, and he comes up to me and he goes, oh, Lee. Calls me by my first name.
He knew who you were.
Yeah, he's like, Lee, how are you? And I know who he is, you know. I'm looking at him like, oh, yeah, Chab, oh, you know. Give him a handshake. You know. He goes, shakes my hand. He goes, nice skating, bro. I'm like, chair, thanks, Tony. It means a lot to me, you know.
It's Tony Alba, but you don't know that it's Tony Alba. You don't know that it's Tony Alba, yeah.
Man, yeah. I'm like, thank you, bro. And then he goes, if you ever want to ride for a real team, come and see me.
Whoa, he offered you right on the...
That's
bailed.
What he said. If you ever want... He was waiting for me to come down there. And then when I got down there by him, because I was never falling off, bro.
So I was never bailing.
Like, this guy's fucking out. I'm never going to get to speak to him, you know. And I finally fell down, came down to the bottom. He's like, yeah. In your word in your ear, bro. If you ever want to ride for a real team, come and see me. He gave Vision such rings, bro. You know, straight to my face. He's like, the team that you're riding for on that, it's gay. Yeah, if you ever want to ride for a real team, come and see me. I was like, if you ever want to pay somebody some real money, then I will come and see you. Because, bro, when you're from New Zealand and you're in America and you've only got, like, if you run out of money, you got to go home.
Right.
It's over. The dream ends.
But then you went to Germany.
So you got to start taking it
seriously.
Then
you went to Germany, and then that's when you were stuck in Germany for 2 years, writing for Titus.
After being deported from America, yeah.
But why ended you up in Germany? I don't get that. Just demo time?
Well, I'd been to the World Cup, and that, like you said.
That was the World Cup?
Yeah, everything was. In those days, the World Cup was like, I like it better nowadays. It's way less cheesy, you know?
Right, well,
it's so much less cheesy.
Well, I was there in 93, I saw the Brazilian team, and they were all running their flag. It was basically the precursor to the Olympics. I mean, they would do it.
Nogal.
Ueda.
Nogal. Frontside 540s.
The chicken wing.
Fucking love that guy. Yeah, when I saw him do a front flip, I was like, I'm gonna have to rethink the situation here. Like,
you went back to your hotel?
Yeah, like, man, some guys are getting really good.
Is that where you started drinking the hard piss? Was you were in Germany? Or me?
Totally.
That's what, totally. I can bring it. That's the no-brainer.
100%.
Because I remember I was there when you were puking in your own Doc Martin and drinking the puke out of your.
Yeah, because I'd only just started drinking. I didn't even know how to. Not that I'm any better at it now, you know, those were the early days.
No, before it was street was just quarter pipe walls and shit. That was the street contest you were doing.
I made the top 8 cut in the world in the street comp, right? I got a 11th on vert. Yeah, I was so fucked off. I was trying to win the vert. I went there ripping.
To win, you could take the flag.
But I got I got fucked up on the way, you know, with those fellas took me out on the boat and that. There was drugs involved.
Drugs involved.
Yeah, and so it kind of. After I didn't do so well on the bird, but I mean, 11th is not a shameful place.
In the world champions, 11th?
Yeah.
No, that doesn't
work.
That's
all right, especially as a Kiwi. You know, we're used to being 4th and 5th on that. You know,
usuals. It's like winning the World Cup ain't going to happen.
How many Olympic champions have we got?
Not many, bro.
Yeah, you know, because how many people have we got? Hardly any, so you can't expect too much, you know. But my expectations were high. I was like, I'm going to fucking win this World Cup.
But then you got top 5 and top 10 in street.
In the street.
Quarter pipes.
Yeah.
This
and it was, you know, it was a good booby prize.
What was it?
It was a good booby prize.
By the way,
getting that in the street was the booby prize. Failed on the bird in my own estimation because I thought I was going to do better. I was really riffing at the time and I really thought, man, I'm going to be up in the top like 4 guys. I'm going to be right there in the finals. And I was imagining the rides, and they were going to be fucking epic and all that, just like everyone does. But, you know, it's going to be, this is going to be so cool. I'm going to shred the fuck out of this place. And then I just didn't, you know. A bit of a letdown. But 11th is all right, you know. Really cares where you come from? Nobody, I don't give a fuck.
You're here with all the best energy in the trip. In the Munster Hall, all the people there were like.
That's what it was really about, you know.
No, it was about.
We came from those days when you couldn't even find somebody to talk to about skateboarding. And then all of a sudden there's 100 of us. And there's people who don't even skate. Girls and shit coming over to our tables at pubs and going, you guys are cool. It's like, what, really? Fuck, everyone's been laughing at us for so long. Are you joking? Like, they're like, we're not joking. We want to root you right now. Like, for real. Oh, yeah. So we have, yes, it's on now.
What's the next song? Any song. Come on. It's going to be hard, mate.
No, it's going to be Silver Sauce.
By Marty.
It's
the great. You didn't even know that it was his song.
I didn't even know it was his song.
Well, actually, the 5 wrote a bunch of it too. Andy, he's like, bet you get those
but
shoes
just that
from
whole
Ross.
Thing, like, I've hung out with the guy, you know, and like you and me, you know that I always have been an aspiring musician. I wanted to do music in there, and then you made your band. Fuck you.
Right.
So you left me in your dust. Pissed me off because I didn't even think you could play properly.
No, you can't.
Oh, no.
You make it up as you go.
I thought I was really cool, and I thought you were just like a
learner.
See
the way you look at your flat play. You're still doing it like that. It's different. But then
when I saw your band play, I was just like, wow. It schooled me. It schooled me on life because I was like, it doesn't really matter. You don't have to train and learn, you know, every note in the world to have a band. You have to do is just go like this, just go.
This is what it comes out of me.
It's on, yeah. You don't even have to ever play an instrument. It's fucking meaningless.
No, it's not why we don't do covers.
And I grew up with the Sex Pistols, and then I already knew that. So I had let that had left me, and it came back to me when I saw you guys. I was like, that's right, the rules. There are no rules.
There were no rules.
Yeah, I started to imagine rules again.
No, you're getting...
I don't like rules, but I do like discipline.
Ooh, rules are not discipline. That's
exactly, and the fine line between rules and discipline is so fine that people can't really understand it, you know. I couldn't. And so I was like, fuck discipline, because, oh, you know, fuck rules. Everybody says that. That's cool. I reckon you should say it. But you don't say fuck discipline. You know, if you say fuck discipline, you're going to go nowhere ever. You're over.
Yeah, but time scheduling is everything, too. Scheduling.
Yeah, well, you can't just... Like, the world's not free anymore, you know. In the old days when cavemen, you could run around, you could eat mushrooms all day or eat bark like Aboriginal people and go on rainbow time, which is what the way I want to live. But, bro, then where do you sleep at night? And that's cool, too. You go to see, next minute you're getting arrested because you're like a vagrant or something. You know what I mean?
No, well, that's the way it is. Yeah. That's progress? No.
Yeah.
It's not progress.
It's no good.
So after Germany, you did get back to NZ. That was in 93, 92,
yeah,
about that time. And then you were off skating by then, or you were not? Because I seen you in 95. We came out here, and then things were like, you were like not really... You weren't
caring
skating.
Too much.
No, you didn't give a fuck because you already been to the mountain and you took it down.
Yeah.
So when I put you, I was like, come on, let's go skating. You were like, who is this dude? I remember you didn't recommend... I had the keys to the mag, but I wasn't like one of your, you know...
You weren't Bryce Knutts, which is who I expected you to come down.
He's coming. You're not Bryce Knutts. So then we came down.
So it's the wrong face, the wrong picture, you know?
Right.
But let me tell you now, nothing against Bryce.
No.
I've got a lot of love for Bryce. You know, he's a fucking champion. But I'm fucking glad it was you, bro. You know, like,
he's coming in.
I doubt this. I doubt that if it was Bryce, that me and Bryce would be sitting here doing this.
No, I doubt that.
Yeah, I really doubt that, you know?
No, so then you came back to NZ, and then we went on the road trip. We went to Morrinsville and stuff, and then we made it pretty much. We were coming back all the time. 95, we came back 98, came back from a girl. We came a bunch of different times.
Well, you didn't just save me, you know, and I love how you saved me, and you cared enough to come down and even try to say to me, bro, give it another shot, you know, or something
right.
like that.
Right, you were only 28 years old.
I know, it was amazing.
So you're a little kid.
But what the rest of the bros weren't aware of was... how much power you brought into every time we went to a New Zealand, we stopped at and we rode with the people there. You know, it wasn't a Disneyland trip, like three trips. You know, it's written up a big thing like be there and see them. There was none of that. You know, there was no be there. No one knew we didn't know where we were going to go.
No, we didn't.
And nobody knew where we were going to be.
Stole Radar's dad's van.
Yeah, we stole Radar's dad's van, and he caught us on the
way. No, when we ran out of gas, he drove us on the fucking highway.
He pulled into the gas station and said, you've stolen my son's van. I was like, no, we didn't.
No.
Even though we did.
We'd already driven all the way, wellied all the way back up. Went to that Mert ramp. It's the East Side Gherkins, West Side Chickens. It's like the street where the kids die. Remember, we drove back on that metal ramp. There are so many memories in New Zealand.
That's hardware to bro. Like, nobody's ever ridden that ramp. Nobody even... Even people now who listen to this won't ever be able to conceive with... what that highway to ramp looked like or what those days were like. You know?
No, but that's different because now that there's so many people and everybody's like, skating's cool. It's like, it's never been like that for us because, well, that was just the way it is.
For us, skating's never not been cool, you know? And so I'm really lenient to anybody. I don't care how kooky people are with their knowledge of skating. They can know nothing, you know, like the most common statement I get ever by 1,000,000,000 miles. The question I only get asked is, do you know Tony Hawk? Yeah, that's it, bro. That's what people care about.
And right there.
Yeah, and I have to say to them, I have to say...
In fact?
Yeah, I do know. And they're like, what's he like? You know? I'm like, yeah, he's a really nice guy. He's a fucking... The Birdman's cool.
The Bird...
And then I have to say to them, I have to go, but bro, there's a lot of other skaters out there who I had a lot more fun hanging out with them than him. And I would much rather talk about that. You know, nothing against the Bird.
No.
Birdman's a cool guy.
Got a minute. But that's usually a lot of times people, they see that as the window to get in.
Yeah, I suppose it's like boxing. People only know a few names. They're like, do you know Muhammad Ali?
I know Lennox Lewis.
Yeah, exactly. They only ask you the biggest. I get it, you know.
No, you better.
But the thing is that people, they just underestimate the character of skaters, you know. Like Tony to me is an estimation of skateboarding. You know?
Estimation.
Yeah, you can't estimate what skateboarding is and what the people you might meet within it are like by meeting him.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
But then once we started hooking up like around the world and shit, we'd see in the United States or Australia, everywhere. We were just always like, we were like twins for life.
Brothers forever, from different mothers.
No, straight up.
And the guys that you introduced me to, actually... watching you and my mum talk was a highlight. One of the highlights of my life, because mum knows that skateboarding is I'm the only boy in my family.
Right.
So my sisters hate me because my mum is like
that's my boy.
That's my boy, yeah, you know. My sisters don't hate me, we're down hard. But they never liked the fact that I was the only boy because, you know, it gives me the upper hand, I'm on top. So when I saw you talking to Mum, she was just like, you know, she knew that it was her boy's dream has come true.
Right.
And he has reached the upper echelons of the dreams that he ever dreamed of, and now that's here.
No, he's in my backyard. Yeah,
now you're there. You know, right. You're the head of the fountain of the things that I wanted to drink from.
That's it.
And so she's just like, the bro's here. And I'm like, yeah, he's here, Mum. He's right there. Just check it out. Let's skate or die. This shit is on. I told you.
I told you that.
I was like, yeah.
Do you think of skating now, going to the Olympics and all the shit that's going on, do you think it's still, is it ever, I mean, it's sacred to me. Skateboarding is very, very, like, religious.
Absolutely, but skating is bigger than, you know, it's bigger than us.
Of course.
We don't, even though we know, we think we know a lot about it, and I know we do, but I think we're a little bit too hardcore.
I think that does it.
I really think we're just a little bit too hardcore for the mainstream that's around us now. You have to make way, you have to want for skating everybody in the world to do it, even if you're not going to be friends with them. You know, like there might be a guy who shreds, he's the best, but he's a fuckhead.
That's what
he's just an asshole, you know.
I think
and you just like, you go over and you're like, he's still a skater, bro, you know. And skating is the winner at the end of the day.
If Tony Hawk was president, I'd back it.
I'd back it to the bone.
Him.
I've got a bad word to say
Tony
about
Hawk
Tony Hawk
and Kanye West in 2020.
And all
America.
Yeah. Got my vote. Got my vote.
Last song you want to hear. This is the one. Make it right.
Last song. The
last
one. Holy shit.
It's got to be a Bob song.
It has to be Bob. Yeah.
What is it? Redemption. So no, it's one of my favorites.
No, bro. It's I Know.
I Know.
From Confrontation. Just because Doc Bob was already nailed dead, he knew he was dying. When he started making the album, he was a dead man. He only had that long to go. So those songs on that album, those last ones. Every song on Confrontation, bro, was the most mind-blowing song you'll ever hear. But I Know is it's cheesier than Redemption song.
It's funny.
Yeah. Nothing is cheesier than Redemption song in the whole world.
No, but that's like because.
But I Know is the lyrics. I know, Jah will be waiting there.
That's actually, you didn't even crack right there. That's good. Okay, when you think of Thrasher, what is it? You have a Thrasher tattoo. That's pretty amazing. But I mean, what do you think? Thrasher changed the world, or is it because
Thrasher? Without Thrasher, one of the key things in my life. Like I can say, without my mum and my dad, you know, these things would happen or whatever, but they're there, you know, they're all part of who I am. Without Thrasher, fuck. No, there is no without Thrasher. There had to be Thrasher. Otherwise, there isn't me. Without Thrasher, I could never have been Lee Ralph. I had to have Thrasher to be the man I wanted to become. They were, because I was only a little boy. I couldn't be like I am now and just tell people what's up and say, like, if you don't like it, fuck off, or if you do like it, let's be friends and that. It's just a little kid. People don't listen to little kids.
Well, now we do.
It's getting better, but, you know, in my day, I would say to people, they'll be like, what are you up to, boy? So I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm doing some skateboarding. They're just like,
fuck off.
Stupid little cunt. You know, this guy's going nowhere. He doesn't understand.
But what is progress? What do you aspire for? You don't. I mean, we're skateboard people, so what do you aspire for? I mean, we talked about earlier, a six-person fucking hot tub. No, I mean, what is this aspiration? Do you have any? I don't. I mean, it's like, this is what it is. I'm skating around the world. I want.
I don't have any. It's minute. It's day by day. It's minute to minute. You know, life for me at the moment. It's, you go ahead. Just don't have expectations.
Right.
You know, don't set expectations that are too high and expect too much from people. You know, just don't put limits on people and be like, this guy, if he doesn't do this, he's out. You know what I mean? That's like, bro.
That's all it takes. Just kind of cut me for that.
Just know from the start. Just be like,
yeah. Thanks, Lee. It's been great to fucking. That's sick.
I love you.
That's
bro.
It. Turn it off.
Damn.